Welcome to the Tap Room exclusive. I'm Dean Zarbaugh. Sitting across from me today is Clark Benson, rep for Jackie O's Brewery down in Athens, Ohio. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Dean. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for coming into the quote-unquote studio, a.k.a. my apartment.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You got some amazing artwork up here on the walls lots of these deep leather couches. You've made it very hospitable.
Thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. So for people who might not be familiar with Jackie O's, you guys got started in 2005
around then. Yeah. We actually just celebrated our 12 year anniversary this past January.
So when you first got started down there, how many beers were you guys brewing?
Well, I haven't been with the company for that whole entire 12 years. I know that we like every, late 90s, early 2000s brew pub, we had a lot. I mean, we have 10 serving tanks down in the original brew pub. And those are pretty much always full, depending on process wise or style wise. But, before starting out, we only have 5 fermenters, so we can only make so much beer, so often.
Right.
Originally, the brewery started, it was a brewery called O'Hooley's. Back in Athens a long time ago, run by a guy named Jim Prouty. And then, our owner, Art Oestreich, he wanted to start a brewery. And he at the time, Brad Clark, our current director of brewing operations and brewmaster, he worked his way up through the area and started home brewing in his dorm to make beer and why not. And then started brewing at O'Hooley's or working with O'Hooley's. Once Art, who is the owner of Bagel Street Deli, I don't know if you've had been there for that.
It.
Yeah, it's fantastic. They decided to team up, and Brad was one of the brewers there and started slowly taking over, and has been kicking ass ever since.
Nice.
But we've grown from originally 7 employees to now we have around 140 a lot, of people work
and
for the company.
12 years?
12 years.
That's insane.
Especially for the brewing industry. I mean, we've seen a huge growth and we're very thankful, but we have very humble roots and more of a grassroots approach. We've been doing this for a long time and we've definitely screwed up along the time. But at the same time, we've learned from our mistakes and we continue to push forward and continue to make killer, consistent beer.
And consistency is the big thing, and that's the thing I really appreciate about Jackie O's is that I know from product A to product B, it's going to be consistent.
Yeah,
it's going to be good, and it's just going to be enjoyable.
And that's sorry to interrupt but at the same time, I think that's you're absolutely right. But consistency, you think that beers never change in terms of consistency, but actually, you'll find out that we've changed our beers a lot over the years, but at the same time, they still have the same core mentality and they have the same heart to them. And it's more of, it's kind of like you have, it's not like, it's like, it's like life, there's a constant change.
Yeah.
And so I feel like you have to do that with beer, as well as, with anything else. And, trends come and go, styles stick around, become popular or not popular. Palates change.
Right.
So in order for us to continue to stay relevant, but also continue to put out a quality, consistent product, we have to tweak and change and also, keep shooting for what we want to be the perfect beer.
And you guys also had, a great stroke of luck being in Athens because
that's helped us out.
People not familiar with Athens, pretty much it's Jackie O's and, Ohio University. Are the big two things to do.
Yeah, I mean, we're like one Athens. Of the one of the top 10 employers in Athens.
That's great.
Yeah, which is awesome.
And so you guys, talking about how staying up on trends and stuff, that puts you guys in such a great position to feel like what's coming with, every kind of new generation, I feel.
Yeah, yes and no, actually, because, Athens, like most college towns, are bubbles. So,
true.
For us being down in Athens, it was cool because... Athens is a weird town in general, which is not a dig at all. I think it's more of a compliment because we would not have been able to have done a lot of the beers that we have in the past and continue to do without that weird, funky mentality that Athens has. And so, but with that being said, I mean, we kind of just like make the beer that we want to make and we want to drink in Athens that suits us. And then once you go outside of Athens, you realize, oh yeah, there's a lot of other breweries and there's a lot of other people and different mindsets. So, it's a very special place and it's very awesome that, that a little tiny town in southeastern Ohio is, you know, gaining attention from, you know, what Pace Magazine rated us as one of the top 10 breweries in the country for 2017, which who would have thought that coming from a little tiny town in the middle of nowhere.
I remember, I got turned on to your guys' brewery from my dad.
Awesome.
Because my dad, my sister and my niece both went to OU. And so he would go visit them. And when he would be down there visiting, he discovered Jackie O's. And I was living in California at the time. And he texts me, he's like, great brewery I just found. And he said, Athens, Ohio. And I was like,
huh,
interesting. Not what I would have thought.
Yeah.
And then when I came back and he handed me a can of Mystic Mama, I was like, whoa.
Awesome.
That is such a great beer. So now you guys started in 2005. When did you guys move to the canning line? Like 2013 to 14, somewhere in there?
Yeah, 2013, 2012, around that time is when we really started getting our production facility up and running. So I first started working for Jackie O's. When I moved to Athens in 2010.
Okay.
You know, I got married, and I was working at the Buffalo Wild Wings across the street as a shift lead, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But before I graduated college, I did like a summer abroad in Dublin, Ireland.
Oh wow!
And I drank a lot of Guinness there, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do, right? Yeah. And I fell in love with beer in general there, just because I went to Miami of Ohio. Yes, okay. I know, living in enemy territory in Athens. But, you know, we drank a lot of Natty Light mm-hmm. in college. Yeah, and I mean, you know, the closest craft was like Blue Moon that I really like got into, or anything like, or maybe a Sam Adams Cherry Wheat or whatever, which, no thank you.
Right.
But then when I went to Ireland and had Guinness, I was just completely blown away. And so when I came back, and I'd like never done anything with beer. I mean, I bartended throughout college and mm-hmm. did that stuff. But when I moved to Athens, I wanted to keep my Guinness habits going. Right. So Jackie O's originally the only nitro beer that they really had on in the public house side was Guinness, and on Tuesdays it was $2 a pint.
Oh wow.
So after work on Tuesdays, I would go across the street to Jackie O's and have a couple pints of Guinness.
Yeah.
Talk with people, get to know the town, since I was pretty new to it at the time. And then I started trying some of their other beers. And then I was like, whoa, these guys are, this is awesome. This is really good. This is the first time I ever had a sour beer. You know, and I was blown away thinking that, you know, Guinness opened my eyes to being like what beer could be, but then all of a sudden Jackie O's just really just like took the curtain away and just opened my eyes to all different styles, and like including sour beer, which has now become one of my favorite things ever. And it's been a crazy wild ride. I started like, I left my job at Buffalo Wild Wings as a manager to be a waiter at Jackie O's.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And then I started slowly working my way up up the food chain there, like asking questions, being like, hey, how's this beer made? What's going on with this? Like, mm-hmm. why is this different and whatnot? And one day I asked if there was anything else I could do in the brewery side, just so I could be like, at least I know I sound what I talk, you know, right. I know what I'm talking about. And I started filling kegs at the brew pub on Sundays.
Okay.
That was pretty much my introductory to like hands-on the craft beer like industry.
So you'd get an empty keg, shove it full of beer, haul it
pretty
off.
Much I'd take it up, and a lot of it was, so we have our public house and our brew pub, and they're a couple doors apart. They're not really in the same building, so I'd have to, our packaging, or we call it the Grundy room at the brew pub, where we have all of our serving tanks, is down in the cellar, like the basement of this one of the brew pub. So I'd have to fill kegs from the Grundy's, Then by then, luckily, our now head brewer, Seth Morton, back then he was an engineering student, and he one of his like projects, he designed a keg elevator.
Oh, nice.
With a winch and everything for taking kegs from the cellar up to the, you know, ground level floor.
Nice.
So I'd take, you know, a half barrel belly keg.
Yeah.
And then I would throw it up on this elevator, get it on a dolly, and wheel it all the way around to the public house.
Okay.
And put it on draft or have it as a backup. So that was my primary job. And that, and cleaning beer lines to get different beers on so that we never really ran out of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so with that, I just went asking more questions, staying involved, and became the assistant brewer to the time of Mr. Sean White.
Okay.
Sean pretty much taught me how to brew from the first hand, clean a lot of tanks and everything. And then Sean eventually, you know, he announced that he was going to start Little Fish Brewing Company.
Okay.
So then he took off to focus on that endeavor, and they've been kicking ass ever since. It's pretty awesome to see how Sean's had like a huge pedigree with working with a lot of great breweries, but and it's awesome to see they're forming their own little niche in Athens beer scene, as nice. Well as Athens community. And then once Sean left, I took over as the pub brewer.
Nice.
For around a year or so. Yeah.
So you basically just learned by doing it.
Yeah, I never homebrewed, never went to beer school, never went to do anything of that sort. It was kind of
Sean.
Yeah, well, watching Sean, and then once Sean left, Brad came in and really just, you know, like he kicked my ass.
Yeah.
and showed me how things are done and how to, you know, learn from mistakes as well as in a very positive manner. It was like one of those situations where like, yeah, like I've made some pretty bad beer.
Yeah,
in
it
my
happens.
Day. Luckily, I never had to dump any of it. But at the same time, it's still like, okay, there's some flaws in this beer. Like, or I wouldn't say flaws, but just imbalances. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just not certain things could have been done better. And it was like, all right, that wasn't the best. You learned something. Yes. Great. Don't do it again. Now you've learned. Let's move on and keep the confidence up and keep trucking. You know,
what was your favorite part of the learning process for you?
Well, I like to cook, and I mean, I knew the cocktails, stuff like that. So I knew like flavor, you know, flavor profiles. Mm-hmm. And so brewing to me was kind of like, all right, you're kind of cooking. And, you know, I feel like there's two different ways to, or at least a lot of people say that there's brewing is either an art or a science, but I think it's the perfect combination of both, because you need to have the science. Like, you need to be the baker mm-hmm. in terms of making sure that you follow the recipe more or less the same every single time for consistency's sake. Right. And then, but you also need to have that cook, that art, finesse and creativity in order to understand and know your ingredients and know everything, how different hops are going to interact with different malts, or like, you know, longer boil time as opposed to, or longer, you know, moving the hops around, or just even understanding, like maybe you're getting the same malt, mm-hmm. but from a different maltster. So you don't even understanding those different things can drastically change a beer. So, and then having the creativity to take all of that and understanding and just being like, oh, maybe we'll throw a little bit of this in here, a dash of that, a pinch of that, and really just coming out with something special. But, you know, ultimately it comes back to note taking, tasting your product, and, you know, being a critic. You know, just going back and realizing that being your own worst critic too is pretty important. I mean, it's just beer,
right.
And it's good to have fun with, and it's good to enjoy with friends. So, you know, that's what I love about Jackie's.
And anybody that wants to go down to the brewery, and do you guys do tours?
Absolutely. Just let us know beforehand if you're what you're looking for. Just let us know, and hopefully we can work something out.
And
yeah.
where would people go? What's the address for the brewery?
Just email brewery@jackios.com.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Clark, thank you. I appreciate the history here of Jackie O's.
Yeah.
What's your guys' production capacity now? Will you go on, do you know off the top of your head?
Not at the top of my head, because I know that we keep adding stuff, and
it's a good thing
which
to have.
Yeah, especially it's a really good thing to have for a 12-year-old company.
We have now cracked open the Chomo Lungma. I got
nice
it right.
Job. Nice
I
job.
Nice
job.
Right.
You got it. It's not Chumbawamba or
no.
Chumba.
I've always wondered, you know, seeing it on the shelf, how it was pronounced, and kind of just threw my own thing out there. But hearing this, another reason I do this podcast is to find out how the beers are pronounced.
There you go.
It's a honey nut brown ale.
Yes.
Now, this has been one of the first ones you guys canned, right?
Yeah. Well, So it went Firefly. Mm-hmm. Was our first one, and then Chomalongma, and then eventually Mystic and Raz and Hop Riot, and then our seasonals.
I love the design. On all these. So what's the story behind this beer?
Well, this beer goes back a long way. We've been brewing this beer for over 10 years. So this is one of the longer running beers that we've been brewing consistently. All the way back through the brew pub and everything. And it actually has a very special history. So Chomalongma is named after Mount Everest.
Okay.
And we brewed this in commemoration of our owner's brother, Brian Ostrike, when he summited Everest in 2007.
No way.
Yeah. In May of 2007, he climbed Everest.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That is absolute. I've never been this many degrees from someone who's done that.
It's it's pretty nuts.
What made him do that? Do you know?
I don't know exactly.
I mean,
but,
obviously the thrill. Then you know, there's that.
Yeah, he's a very active person, and he's a really cool dude. Just having that experience. But Jackie O's is named after Jackie Ostrike, which is our owner's mother.
Okay.
She passed away from lung cancer.
I'm sorry.
So Chomalongma is kind of a very special name, and also having lung in there, having the family connection, as well as we do an event called Chomalongma Day every May, and we do a bunch of different variations of Chomo or Chomalongma, we do some proceeds towards the charity called Longevity, which is created for lung cancer research.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
That's what I love about a lot of the craft beer industry is these breweries really take a hold of the local community and like things that are important to people.
Absolutely.
And really just grab onto that and make sure they can do whatever they can. It's just something I really appreciate from this industry.
Exactly. And it's a very like community forward grassroots approach for supporting something that you believe in, that's beneficial to your friends and family.
Yeah. And so what's the profile on this guy?
So it is a brown ale. It's a honey nut brown, though there are no nuts in the actual beer itself. Okay. You get the nuttiness from some of the special like aromatic and toasted malts, like Munich aromatic malt and special roast, like special B. I love this beer, and I think that brown ale's got a really bad rap because
I love brown
ale. Yeah, but no one drinks them anymore.
Right? I truly appreciate a good brown ale.
I think a lot of people do brown ales, and a lot of breweries start with brown ales because they're kind of one of those forgiving styles, or at least perceived forgiving styles, where it's like, you can't really screw this up because you got, either you don't have a whole lot of hops to play around with. And at the same time, it's, the malt profile's got some sweetness to it, some toast to it. So if maybe there's a little fermentation flaw, you could be like, oh no, it's the malt profile, something. Yeah.
Right.
But no, we put a lot of time into this beer as well. We use Ohio wildflower honey in the boil itself to add a little boost in sugar, as well as bring a little floral character to it, and also a touch of sweetness.
Yeah.
But for a brown ale, it's not overly sweet.
It's not.
No, it's just a very flavorful 6.5% easy drinking beer that is not over the top in any direction, which is what I think makes this beer so great.
And it doesn't sit heavy with you either.
No, not at all.
It's such a, sometimes you get into some brown ales, you get into some stouts and stuff, and they kind of sit with you a little bit.
Yeah. Especially the way that the stouts are kind of going now.
Especially if you've mispaired things.
It's ooh.
Oh, and especially, yeah.
Ooh, a lot of the stouts now are just like over the top sweet. Like,
yeah,
just, if you took I'm trying to think of the candy, or just a Tootsie Roll.
Right.
Ate a bunch of those.
Yeah.
That's like how you feel after having some of the stouts these days.
It's nice to be able to go to a nice brown ale like this and know it's not going, and it's not just a kind of colder climate
beer. Yeah.
You know, I can drink this in the summer.
Yeah.
I can drink it in the fall.
It's a great sunset beer.
Oh, yeah. This is, this is, it's a very balanced, it's a lot of complexities to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of caramel.
A lot going in. You get caramel.
A little bit of like that, I'm like Baker's chocolate thing going on there.
I don't know if it's just me. Again, my palate's still pretty amateurish. I mean, a little like roasted coffee in there.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Yeah, you can get a hint of that from some of the roasted malts that we use. Yeah, absolutely. And a little bit of that, like that coffee bitterness too. Mm-hmm. You'd get, though it's not overly bitter.
And it's really interesting because I don't drink coffee.
Interesting.
I hate coffee.
Okay.
But when it's in a beer, I love it.
Interesting.
But I cannot just drink
straight coffee.
Yeah. I couldn't, even with sugar or cream.
Nothing.
Wow. No, I can't do it. I had a very weird, mental thing happened. I grabbed a cup when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like Coca-Cola or something. And it was like cold coffee.
Ooh.
And it just had one of those.
Starting mental, with cold coffee is not the way to go.
It was just like super bitter.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it wasn't in a coffee mug. It was in like a plastic, like, cup, like tea glass.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is that in there? So it just messed with my head. But I can do coffee in a beer.
Okay. Well, there's no coffee in this beer, but and no nuts.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people also think that because this beer has nuts, you know, like they're worried about like nut allergies or anything like that. But for those that that cannot consume nuts, you can consume this beer.
There's nothing in there that's going to harm you.
Yep.
Pairing. Let's get into the pairing on this.
I think this goes really well with like fried cheese curds.
Ooh, yeah. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the nuttiness and the creaminess of the dairy kind of work really well together, for sure, as well as just like that fried, that just the breading.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of plays well with the malt profile. And that little touch of sweetness kind of goes well with the salt and cheese.
Yeah.
So I'm all about like brown ale and give me a nice slab of cheddar, maybe some crackers, and we're good to go.
What else would you like to get out about this beer?
Anything I
might have missed.
About? No, I think we nailed this one. I mean, just like the beer itself, it's pretty straightforward. You know, there's nothing like extreme about it. There's nothing, hype worthy about it. It's just a great solid beer that that I particularly love in the winter. Because it has that nice malt profile, and at the same time, it's 6.5%.
Yeah.
So it's got a nice, you know, alcohol level to get that booze blanket on and just sit down and either, you know, in the fall, watch some football if that's your thing. Or, you know, it's great with campfires and friends going camping. I hope everyone that tries it enjoys it as much as I do.
Oh yeah. I highly recommend everybody go out and,
but yes, it is Chomo Lungma.
Yeah, that one, it's always stood out on a shelf.
Yeah,
the orange and the black really does stand out.
The Yeti, which is on the can.
Which
there,
now
too.
That makes sense.
Yeah, there you
now
go.
Now that I know the story, I was
full
always
circle.
Like, what is the significance of the Yeti?
Yep,
and now I know.
Yeah, man.
Clark, I really appreciate your time. Thank
My
you
pleasure
for joining me, and tune in next week as we break down a couple more beers.
Cheers.